Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
I am so unready right now. I've still got a podcast playing in the background. I've got to shut that off. Dow slides 800 points. When was that? That was a couple days ago. What's going on with the market today? Do you know, Anthony? How are your investments doing?
I'm not in the tax bracket to have investments.
That doesn't require a tax bracket, really. You just have to... Dow slides 800 points as market rout deepens, on track for worst day since October 2020. What is going on? What is going on? Do you realize we think about politics so much? We think politics is so the most important thing. But, well, let me just add another caveat in there. There are all these things going on in the world, and we're so worried. We're so focused straight ahead. But that one thing, can you imagine what happens to the Biden presidency if the market changes direction after all these years, through all the madness of the Trump years, when they were acting like, oh, Trump, the world is over, Trump, every day. That's all they did, remember? It's hard to remember because it's so unreal.
Sorry to interrupt you, but everyone's saying that this stock market plunge is because of the China chaos that they've been going through over there, like more lockdowns, separating kids from families. It might be a new variant, so people are...
Everyone is saying that, like your group living situation or around the station. When you say everyone is saying,
I guess the people online. That's what I mean.
Oh, the chitter chatter on social media.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the reason is. Money is what everything is all about in politics, don't you think? Because really, power takes two forms, I think. It's either money or politics, which gets you the money. And all of that is connected somehow to sex, but I'm not sure how to formulate that. But you know, that's what it's all about. Everybody wants to reach their goals. And despite all that screaming all day, every day for 5 years about Donald Trump and how the sky was falling, the stock market went up. And if the stock market were to get into trouble just because, well, for it doesn't matter the reason, if that were to correlate, if we went into a downward trend, that's it for Joe Biden over the short term. And depending on the timing and how long it lasts, that's it for the long term. Do I sound excited? Well, it's not that I want the stock market to go down. I have some stocks. I have some retirement funds, and I don't want those to go bad. But in terms of politics, I'm looking for disruption. I am looking for that which will somehow shake us out of our patterns and the places in which we are locked so that we can be shaken into some other configuration that allows some things to freshen up, that allows for some discussions to be viewed differently, for some power to be better administered than it's being powered, being administered right now. You know, it's another way of saying, let's have a new start, a fresh start. And we just need something to jostle the world, to have a little earthquake. Everybody's waiting for an earthquake. Everybody imagines that America is getting, America is locked in a place that's the worst place it's ever been, and nothing is right. And I think that attitude comes from our lack of experience with things being bad. It's been a long time since things were bad. I mean, really, what we see as misery now. I was making Anthony laugh. I think it was you, Anthony, the other day when I was saying, you know, our hard times come with a full stomach and an evening of Netflix or video games, you know, with the deliveries, the food deliveries pulling up to the door.
Yeah.
One after the other as we get hungry. Like, that's hard times to us. With the air conditioning going.
Yeah, we turn on the news and we're like, oh, things are awful.
With the car charging.
And then,
the world is getting me down. I've got so much agita about how tough these times are. We've never been through such times. You power back the chair, hold the button down while the feet go up, and the back goes back.
And then I eat some pint of ice cream. And
exactly, yes, from Arethusa. Anthony's got the chocolate chip working, and he's got the massage on. Turns on the massager on the Baca lounger. And he says, God, I've never lived through such bad times.
Such awful times.
These are tough times. But you know what? When you put it in those terms and you think about what people went through, the thing that makes it bad times today is that we're so unprepared for bad times. We've been up so long that we don't know what down looks like. There's this weird thing about humans, too, that we, well, maybe other creatures as well, but I'm less familiar with other creatures. But I've always thought that worrying, do you worry a lot? I've always thought worrying was like the idle of a car. It's just how the carburetor is set. And the RPMs that you hit when the foot is not on the gas, that's sort of the genetics of who you are. Or your training. Can be your training. But I guess the first RPM level would be your genetic predisposition. And then you get conditioned. Like if you have a parent who's crazy wired, high strung, that becomes contagious. You know, how much electricity is running through your system? How much current? And that's how we respond to life. And to some extent doesn't require a bad reality for some people to feel that times are bad. And I'm one of those people. When things are bad, I feel like they're good. I'm upbeat and optimistic. No, seriously, that's how I feel about myself. It may come across another way. But I feel like everything's going to work out in the end. And part of that, I think, is the privilege of having grown up in America in the second half of the 20th century, which launched us into the stratosphere in terms of how wonderful life is. And there's never been anything like it. Never been anything like it. There's a woman here who I pulled off of a podcast. I do a lot of podcast listening over the weekend. I wanted to play you a little her. I'm not sure if I'm at the right starting point, though.
This episode is...
Nope, that's not it yet. I don't want to hear the ad.
Tell. I'm a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute.
All right, here she is. Now, her voice is no joy to listen to, I confess, especially after the beautiful tones of me and Anthony coming out of your speaker. I'm sure this will be painful. But listen to what she says. That's a little intro music.
I'm Sally Satel.
Hello, Sally.
I'm a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and a visiting professor of psychiatry at the Medical School of Columbia University. Recently, my article, When Therapists Become Activists, appeared in Persuasion. When I trained in psychiatry, an unbreakable rule was that therapists kept their personal politics out of the office. But today I see training programs, especially in the counseling profession, embracing a radical social justice agenda. The graduate counseling program at the University of Vermont, for example, intends to, quote, structurally align itself with the Black Lives Matter movement and begin the work.
This junk is going on everywhere. Do you feel that this infection is getting out of control? That this is the real pandemic? That this is the thing we need a vaccine for? If you could trade a vaccine, the vaccine that we have for COVID, for a vaccine for this? This is my question for you. Would you take it? Would you make that trade? The COVID vaccine for the social justice vaccine. If there were a way to cure the social justice movement, or at least hold it off, would you trade the COVID vaccine for that?
But today I see training programs, especially in the counseling profession, embracing a radical social justice agenda. The graduate counseling program at the University of Vermont, for example, intends to, quote, structurally align itself with the Black Lives Matter movement and begin the work of undoing systemic white supremacy, unquote.
Can you believe that? This is a program to train people to be therapists, and their goal is to undo the white supremacy. It's kind of stunning.
The graduate counseling program at the University of Vermont, for example, intends to, quote, structurally align itself with the Black Lives Matter movement and begin the work of undoing systemic white supremacy.
Oh, my Lord. What kind of demented humans are signing us up for the utter destruction of undoing professionalism in order to politicize it? And why? What is your explanation for this? This is shocking stuff. 860-522-9842. Can you imagine going to the therapist and the therapist trying to decide whether your problem is your white supremacy or your victimhood to white supremacy, and then plugging in a solution based on that? 860-522-9842. We'll take a quick break and talk about it here on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
I like this clunky music. It's got no imagination. WTIC, good afternoon. The world is being kidnapped, has been kidnapped. What the heck is going on with all this junk? 860-522-9842. And how do you feel about, wait a sec, before you think of your answer to that, listen to this. This is a principal talking about the woman who's helping him with a presentation he's doing on grading equity in a CREC school in the greater Hartford area. Listen.
So specifically her job title with that group is that she is an equitable grading coach.
She is an equitable grading coach. I nearly fell off whatever I was sitting on when I heard that.
So specifically her job title with that group is that she is an equitable grading coach.
An equitable grading coach. Have you ever heard of this? Equitable grading. Are you familiar with equitable grading? I actually ordered a book today on equitable grading so I could learn how horribly racist schools have been. Until right now, when we've discovered equitable grading. Let's see what time I ordered it. It was at, I ordered it at 1:36 this morning. Can you believe it? The time I was doing the ordering, but that there are books like this. It's called Grading for Equity. What it is, why it matters, and how it can transform schools and classrooms. I feel like these crazy people, the equity people, the social justice people, there's one group of them who are, of course, out of their minds and believe it's true and are driving the movement. And then there are others who are just trying to survive. And they're caught up in the whole, you know, what direction do you swim so you can escape the undertow? I think that's the political imperative for the average person who gets involved with this. 860-522-9842. Patty Naugatuck, hi.
Hi, Ted. You know, I was listening to your at the beginning of your show, and I wanted to say I think a lot of us see a lot of things going on. It isn't just the vaccine. I think we see education. I think we see health issues. I think we see mandates that normally were never put in place before, and they're being handled by public health rather than our own even physicians, even deciding who gets those and that kind of thing. I think we see national security issues. I think we see the border.
Well, that's my point.
Issues.
And all of it's being controlled by these weird dynamics that are imperatives that we never even knew existed. How did this happen? What's it all about?
Yeah, it's like the 5 days of fundamentally transforming the country. That's, you know, we had heard that. And I think we are all concerned about that because we see a change in freedom, liberty, choices, and the way people live. Our electricity, cars, the way that we're going on, you know, other forms of electricity and coal and natural gas, and they're using alternate things. And we see all these things maybe helping China's economy. So I think people are alarmed. And I think when our children are involved in their education and also their health with vaccines, you know, they're not little adults. Children have, you know, they're growing, their bones are growing, their bodies are growing, their brains. So when we see that they have such a low, 99.998% chance of full recovery, don't get very sick and don't shed, we wonder why would we be vaccinating this group of people?
Well, we wonder all kinds of things about what it is. What is the actual motivation that is controlling all those forces you're talking about, Patty? Thank you for the call. 860-522-9842. And somehow it seems that social justice is the cornerstone of this kidnapping of America. This idea of putting racial justice into the schools as a way to, I think the ultimately what it is a way for Democrats to avoid culpability for the misery that their bad policies create for their minority voters. Ultimately, I feel that Democrats, which control all of these underground narratives, I think, and have so much cultural, well, I'm not sure what the right word is, but they have so much influence over the flow of cultural conversations that they infect it with this stuff, and they feel compelled to do that so they can keep minorities off the track of just how guilty they are in terms of all the bad things that are going on that they claim to be solving. So Democrats are very clever. They create this sense of allegiance, this sense of emotional connection by protesting statues and demanding that rocks be relocated and pushing on irrelevant things that won't make substantive change in order to avoid culpability for being the force that blocks fundamental change from taking place. I feel like that's a big part of it anyway, but I haven't put all the pieces together yet. I'm still working on it. 860-522-9842.
Johns Hopkins University Counseling Center advised new students to consider us one of the many resources in the, quote, necessary work of engaging with internalized bias, recognizing privilege, and aligning values of anti-racism.
All right, that's the psychologist again, talking about the importance for what they're teaching, they're training psychologists to be thinking about how to fix their patients. In other words, to look at what's ailing their patients and then classifying it with regard to issues of social justice. Because if they're white, their emotional problems might just be connected to their own whiteness or otherness. 860-522-9842. Isn't this bizarre? We're going to take a news break and we will talk more coming up on WTIC.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Anyway, this kidnapping of modern culture by the woke, whites are evil, anti-racist people. Isn't that interesting that anti-racism and the hatred of white people, the marginalizing of white people, the prejudice, the bigotry towards white people go hand in hand, those movements? How is that? Whatever happened to seeing people as people? Because really, if we all were raised in a country that was infected with white supremacy and that was some unavoidable reality of life, then whites would be as much victims as anyone else. We would have somehow been robbed of our ability to function freely and become who we wanted to be. Why is that viewed as an us against them thing? 860-522-9842. Steve is calling from MDC Hedham. We don't hear from Steve that often. Do you know today, Steve, just so you know, I queued up one of the old Jolly Ned's Comedy Club bits to play during the rants today.
Todd Feinberg, News Talk 1080. Thank you.
Oh, I was trying to see if I could shake you out of that prescribed open, but I couldn't do it.
What I should say is, hey, Todd, how are you?
That would be bad.
Even more upset.
A little variety. It's not the saying of that that upsets me. It's the automatic starting off of conversations with something that slows down the conversation and puts something irrelevant at the beginning of it. So some people call up and go, and they catch
radio talk show host Michael Savage always used to do the same thing. Just get to your point.
What did he do?
Well, he said, the call screener would say, just get to your point and don't say, hi, Michael, how are you? Is everything okay? Just get right to the point. But here we are wasting time. Come on.
Well, no, we're not. We're informing people. We're informing people.
Well, I was actually trying to call the engineering department so we can get a little more volume on hold while we're waiting to get on air.
We put in a requisition for that, and we understand that by the end of the decade, we will get a response.
Okay. I'm looking for, phone audio justice here. Got nothing.
You have phone audio justice. I think we could just shorten that to audio justice. It's got a nice name to it. As a matter of fact, that could be the name of a band.
Audio justice, radio justice, I don't know.
Steve
but
and
anyway,
the audio
I mean,
justice.
How long will it be before there's a cabinet-level position, the Secretary of Diversity and Social Justice?
I think there is one already. I don't think we have to wait. There's got to be one already.
Okay.
So what's did you have something? Are you just calling to bother me, or did you have something?
I was calling the engineering department. No, there were a couple things you started off with. Everyone's waiting for a political earthquake. And a political earthquake is happening just 100 miles north of Hartford in New Hampshire.
100.
And I hate to, like, what's going on in New Hampshire? Here we go. Here goes Steve from Adam on New Hampshire again. But there is a movement to actually put on the ballot next year, next November's election, to secede from the union, to get out of Washington.
For the state?
For the state.
For the state of New Hampshire to leave the union. Why would the state of New Hampshire do that? New Hampshire is thriving.
Well, it's also for every dollar that's sent to Washington, D.C., 65 cents comes back to New Hampshire. So right off the bat, there's a waste of money.
Yeah, okay. So there's the robbery thing.
There's the robbery. Yeah, taxation is theft. There's the, people in New Hampshire are, I mean, I don't know if anyone is computer savvy out there, but if you just use the hashtag NHExit, like Brexit, NHExit, if you start looking for that hashtag around, you'll see article after article. And in fact, I think the main paper in Manchester, the Union Leader, had a poll up for should New Hampshire secede? Yes, no, indifferent. 70% of the respondents said yes. Now, I don't know. That's like a non-scientific poll. I mean, people from Montana could be voting for that, too. So,
well, plus, you're the third person from the New Hampshire secession. Or what's the movement you're part of?
The Free State Project. That was Dave Ridley who has called it.
Yeah, so you're the third person, maybe the fourth, who's brought that to my attention, that poll, which makes me think that everybody...
And you had Lily for Liberty. She was a great free state activist. You had her as a guest a while back.
That's true. I did.
Yeah. But, working in do I have another second?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So just working in corporate America as an outsider, as a vendor for a lot of these corporations over the past 10 to 15 years, they've been promoting this, diversity and inclusion aspect in the corporate world. And now they have vice presidents of diversity and inclusion. And you see billboards on the sides of the highways, get your master's in social, I don't even know what it's called, social engineering or whatever. And also departments of public health, get a master's in Department of Public Health. I don't know if the colleges are trying to make this stuff so that they can get more money from students or the corporations. Or they're all in bed. It's like the interlocking directorates of the Fortune.
Well, so you look at colleges, colleges and universities get so much money from the federal government and state governments as well, but federal government primarily, that they'll fall into any kind of game. If they have to hire a few executives to squander $1 million a year on paying to do nothing, like to celebrate diversity, they'll do that if it makes them a politically tenable affiliation for whoever they're affiliating with. And I think that the flow of money controls a lot of this stuff, Steve.
Right, and they're creating a whole new sector of the economy that's based in nothing, really, except talking about things. And so I got to go to school for this. I got to get a loan, and now I'm hooked with the federal government on a student loan that I have to work for this corporation. It's really just nuts. But really, I mean, ultimately, any topic, if you just follow the money, that's really where it goes.
Steve, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. That's Steve from NBC Haddam, the guy who used to make every day and stopped, sadly. Charlie Ned's Comedy Club, and we're going to, I've got one queued up to play today during the rants, during the 5 o'clock hour. Don't forget the rant line is there for you. 860-751-4698. Dave is in Brantford. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, Todd, I hate to spend my nickel this early in the week in the first hour, but
I know. What's going on with
to this? Piggyback on your topic, the very execrable, loathsome Representative Brandon McGee from Hartford wrote a editorial piece in the Hartford Current yesterday in the Insight section, and it's titled "Climate Action is the Key in the Fight for Racial Justice." And so, you know, to piggyback on your point, if you append racial justice to any pig in a poke, you can sell it because it's hard to fight back. Listen to some of these points, if you don't mind. You know how Susie, I was always telling you that the TCI, the Transportation Climate Initiative, is going to limit the amount of gasoline? So Brandon McGee says, well, the TCI achieves this by setting a cap on emissions and limits the amount of fossil fuel allowances companies can buy. He doesn't tell the truth that it's going to limit the amount of gasoline that you can buy. He also mentions it's going to hold wholesalers accountable for the pollution they create. Well, you know, we're blaming the companies. And get this, the small amount of taxes, which he claims a small increase in the price at the gas pump, he's talking about is going to direct hundreds of millions in accrued funding to distressed municipalities. It's funny how my tax dollars suddenly turned into accrued funding. But if you read the editorial, again, in yesterday's Hartford Current, it is just loaded with all the buzzwords, health equity, racial inequity, disproportionality, disparities. The buzzwords are just awful. They're the dog whistles that we hear about. And so I would just want to say the name again. It's Representative Brandon McGee from Hartford and Windsor. And I hope one of our buddies, Mark, from Windsor, will call in and maybe piggyback on what a loathsome character this particular state rep is. Climate change is not a racial issue. I think that's my point.
Dave, I don't know why he gets singled out. This is standard Democrat patter that is very dangerous. I don't mean to minimize it by calling it patter, but these are words they're required to say, as you point out, to get things passed, to win power. If you call it, by the way, the whole notion of equity is a bogus notion. This is all a contrivance that you should be appalled by, designed to separate you, as all of their plots are, from your money. There is nothing legitimate about the idea of putting equity for some other thing, for some imagined, unproven, undebated other thing, into a category that gets funding so that politicians can decide who gets that money. This is theft. This is unequal justice under the law. This is punishing people financially using tax dollars for not voting for Democrats or for supporting Democrats. Everything the Democrats do is an attempt to funnel tax dollars to their favorite people, i.e. those who help them stay in power. And equity is a word that is put into laws now, remarkably put into laws, in order that there can be tax dollars funneled into a line item called equity. And equity is not a thing. It's nothing you can build. It's just a line item with money attached to it. And they get to spend that money buying votes from whatever block of people they want to buy votes from. Simple as that. 860-522-9842. Which is why that woman I'm embarrassed. I don't even know her name. Isn't that unfair? But she's providing such wonderful sound cuts. I should know her name. I will, though. Let's listen to a little more of her. Oh, she's not making enough noise, though, over the air. See if we can remedy that. So what she's talking about, again, is she's a professional mental health person. And she's articulating how even in the mental health industry, this idea of equity is polluting the way they're supposed to treat people as psychologists.
Accordingly, more and more counselors are encouraging their patients to understand their problems as a consequence of an oppressive society. White patients, for instance, might be told that their distress stems from their subjugation of others, while Black and minority patients are told their problems stem from being oppressed. Patients labeled by their therapists as oppressors will, of course, feel alienated and confused, and those branded as oppressed, and some are indeed so vulnerable that they may imbibe this lesson, will learn to see themselves as feeble victims. This, in my opinion, is nothing short of malpractice. And it's why I wrote this essay. Our job is to do the exact opposite, to promote introspection and embolden people to experiment with new attitudes, perspectives, and actions, to learn how to observe themselves and discover how they may inadvertently sabotage themselves from attaining their desired goals.
So you hear what she's describing here, that as a psychologist, she is trained to help people find the truth about what is impacting them on an emotional, psychological level. And what this equity movement is doing in psychology is teaching psychologists to help people turn themselves into a formulaic psychological actor. They are polluting everything they can pollute with this untested, and by the way, this is all critical race theory based. Critical race theory is the idea that America and white people are irredeemable because we were all weaned on racism. And we can't even separate ourselves from our own racism. And racism is the infection upon which America was built and whiteness is built. That's the theory of critical race theory. These liars who run around talking about how it's not being taught in the schools are not talking honestly about what critical race theory is. It is the underpinning of all of this garbage, this diversity garbage, this whole idea of equity. Equity to pay off the bill for having been a nation built on racism. That's their idea. 860-522-9842. We'll take more phone calls coming up on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Good afternoon. Glad you're here on WTIC. So I guess the message is on this phony narrative that America is racist and permanently racist and damaged by having been constructed upon racism, as opposed to the truth, which is America is built on a foundation of liberty, and that pursuit of liberty, freedom. That is freedom from government oppression. Government is how they oppress you. If you look at the world through that dynamic, the government is the most dangerous, destructive, oppressive force humans have faced. And our ability to pursue our own goals requires that we be protected from government. That's the brilliant thing about the construct of our society. And one of the things government did, by the way, no, does, is racism, is creating preference mechanisms through which certain groups of people can do better than others. And what this whole social justice and equity thing is an attempt to make use of those structures of bad government that favor some groups over others at different times, different groups. The idea is to be able to gain control of it so that the bias can go in the direction of the winner of the wrestling match over who controls government bias. That's what's going on right now. So what they're doing is, in order to be able to get control of the mechanisms of government bias in America, which is the richest nation, the biggest score you could get in terms of taking over society, is and would be the score of taking over America and being able to wield all that economic power and all that military power. It makes you the, you know, instantly the most powerful force in the history of mankind if you can take this over. That's why they hated Donald Trump so much, I think, because Donald Trump took it outside of the approved little club of operators and threatened to tell the truth about everything. 860-522-9842. Deborah, hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Go ahead, Deborah.
Thank you. I'm just calling regarding a very recent paradigm shift that I've had. With regards to the aerosolation of the COVID virus. Back when this whole thing started, mask, unmask, do this, do that, especially regarding masks. And at the time, it was my understanding there wasn't enough N95s available except for healthcare workers. Well, just 2 weeks ago, it blew through the house of friends of ours from age 16 up to 70s, and they were in three separate units in the house, and they all got COVID within days. And I thought, how can that happen if they were quarantining? So I went online, and I asked Google, how long does COVID stay airborne? And the EPA website popped up, and it said 6 feet is not enough, and that it can stay aerosolized, the smaller particles, not the big droplets, the smaller particles, can stay airborne for hours and hours, even in large spaces. So the point is...
was talking about the Delta variant then, right?
Well, no. It didn't have a date on the EPA website, but I'm assuming with the Delta variant as well. But the point is that if we had, in the lockdown, back in the very beginning, worn N95 masks at that time and known how long it stays in rooms. We were told, I'd heard on some person, that it stays in there as long as you blow smoke from a cigarette, then it dissipates. Not true. And I'm working with a world-famous doctor personally. He has a partner that's working with 70 or many, many aerosol scientists. So the government has totally botched it. And the fact that it's on the EPA website, you could check it right now. It's right on there. Why they aren't telling people, and this is when you're indoors, so the whole point is don't share air inside and wear an N95 mask. So,
well, I think that's true now. I don't think it was true before. I think you can't compare the two variants. This one is supposed to be highly aerosolized, although it doesn't seem that way in terms of the contagiousness. Remember when Delta was first identified, they were talking about it being 1,000 times more contagious? And that obviously is not true, because it would have ripped through the whole country in a second, I think, if that were the case. Especially, and by the way, they contradict themselves by pushing masks. The N95, I don't think, was necessary before, but if it's so much more contagious and if it can be aerosolized, then the only way to have efficacy with a mask would be an N95. And they don't talk about the N95s. They just talk about masks. They just talk about masks in general.
Yeah, I know. It's everybody's wearing these. I know, and I don't want to start a whole controversy over it, but...
The controversy is the thing we're identifying, Deborah.
Yep.
How can they talk about this being so contagious and that everybody has to wear an N95, which was how they introduced the topic a few months ago, and they've dropped the whole N95 thing?
Exactly.
Well, which way is it? And by the way, they were talking about you had to wear two N95s.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
Or an N95 over your other mask. I mean, they're so full of it, and they're so making it up as they go along.
I know, and meanwhile...
So we need controversy.
Yeah. And then the big thing is, you really don't want to catch it, because long-haul COVID, it is a real thing. And
well, look, short-haul is not necessarily good either. Thank you, Deborah. I was talking to a guy who owns a coffee shop today. And he was talking about he was out. He had to close for a month because he had COVID. So it was the most miserable experience of his life. He was in the hospital unconscious for in a coma for a week, basically. He went there, he collapsed, and did not wake up for 6 days. It's not something you want to tussle with. But a little truth would still be helpful here. 860-522-9842, the rant line number 751-4698. News time on WTIC.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.